The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. Join gardener Peter Donegan and not-so-green fingers Brian Green on Dublin City FM. Fridays, 3 p.m. The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM.
103.2, Dublin City FM, The Sod Show for a Friday with Brian Green and...
Peter Donegan. How are you, Brian?
I'm good. Very good, in fact.
Yeah, hey, what's the crack with you? Have you been out gardening recently?
You know, I intend to go out gardening, and being the armchair gardener that I am, it's like being, let's say you're an armchair football fan. You might like, you know, Ireland or Manchester United or something. You sit in your armchair and you watch them play and you enjoy it. I'm that kind of gardener.
I described and did a piece of audio midweek about I won't say the armchair gardener, but what I did say was the fan of classical music who actually never went and learned how to play the violin, and it was in relation to my, my bad analogy maybe to the use of botanical Latin and horticulture. And sometimes, just sometimes, it's nice to just wander by as classical music is actually playing. Which leads us to a couple of events, actually, that are on the horizon this Sunday in Ballybohel in North County Dublin. There is a Hedgerow Society walk. Do you know what the Hedgerow Society is, Brian?
Slina Schnocka.
Slina Schnocka, not far off it for those who like the bit of Osquelga. And it's a, it's a funny thing. I had a question in saying, Hedgerow Society, what do? You go look at hedges? No, is the answer. We don't have a plethora, group, cluster, gaggle who stand at a hedge and go, oh, God, that's a gorgeous looking hedge. It's not that kind of thing at all. However, on this walk, there are also 5 bridges as part of it, which are all over 500 years of age. The walk starts at 2 p.m. You can find more details on that on blog.donneganlandscaping.com. If, however, you want to keep your high heels a little bit cleaner or not get the Feng Shui Wellington boots a little bit dirtier, the following week on Sunday, the 5th of February, the first garden group outing of 2012 takes place, and we're heading to Ratbeggan Lakes. Do you know Ratbeggan Lakes, Brian? Do you know County Meath well?
I don't, but just to pause you for a second, I'm getting a little bit confused because I was on a garden group hedgerow walk combined all in one. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct, right, yes. Well, for those who know me well, they know I live in Ballybohel in North County Dublin, and there is a hedgerow society there. I like to call it the Dead Poets Society equivalent-esque for people who like the great outdoors. So it's not pernickety neat gardens, but it does allow you to see a tree that would have grown to 60 or 80 years old just in the middle of a field, not pruned, not anything, just there, and to be able to ask that question. On the other side of it, if you take us to where we're intending to go the following week, which is Ratbeggan Lakes, they're actually putting in and encouraging and trying to develop this wild garden walky pathy kind of stroll through the woods. And you'll see a lot of that as well in St. Anne's Park and Raheny, where they do have the nice neat little bits, but at the same token they also have the little bits of wilderness. And again, but that's in its primary state, untouched, unfound, in the middle of Ballybohel.
So February 5th, where are you going?
February 5th is to Ratbeggan Lakes, which is in County Meath.
And who can go? Anybody who wants to?
Anybody at all, but, and the only thing is numbers are required for the official, not to be confused. The one on February 5th is to Ratbeggan Lakes. It is an official garden group outing. That's my own garden group. Which
so
is
that means anybody who wants to come can express an interest and register and go.
But you must leave a name. However, on the other one, which is this coming Sunday, 2 days away, which is the one in Ballybohel. Ballybohel is just outside Swords. Swords is just outside Dublin Airport. Dublin Airport is just outside Dublin City Centre, not that far away. You just turn up on the day, and it's a case of the more the merrier.
And you turn up where the centre of the village is?
Yeah, head to blog.donneganlandscaping.com and just stick in, you know, I think it's 2 or 3 posts down from the Sod Show. I shall find it today, Friday evening, and there will be in front of you and all the details on where to go and how to turn up.
Earlier you heard me say Slina Schiocca.
Slina Schiocca, yes.
My Irish is not great, but segue to our guest of the programme today. We are going to be talking to a qualified Gardner, who is a great Irish speaker too. Who
have we got? Sheila Ní Cionnaigh. Sheila is the presenter of T.G. Cahir's gardening programme, A Gardaí Glos, which is due to hit back on our airwaves. Not our airwaves, our television waves. Is that the correct way?
They're airwaves too.
Yes, and that's coming back on season. We shall be talking to her shortly.
Okay, you get her on the phone and we'll have a listen to this.
I don't know what you smoke or what countries you've been to. If you speak any other languages other than your own, I'd like to meet you. I don't know if you drive, if you love the ground beneath you. I don't know if you write letters or you panic on the phone. I'd like to call you all the same if you want to. I am gay. I don't know if you can swim, if the sea is any draw for you. If you're better in the morning or when the sun goes down, I'd like to call you. I don't know if you can dance, if the thought ever occurred to you. If you eat what you've been given or you push it around your plate, I'd like to cook for you.
.2 Dublin City FM, Lisa Hannigan, and the theme to the television programme, Gardaí Glos.
Okay, so on the line we have Sheila Ní Cionnaigh. Is that the correct pronunciation?
That's
Sheila?
Very close to it. Hey, Peter, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, I'm doing good. Sheila, you are the presenter of the TV programme, the gardening programme, Gardaí Glos.
I am.
Can you explain to those outside of Ireland listening what Gardaí Glos actually means?
Gardaí Glos literally means green garden or green field, that's all. And the idea of the show came up maybe 4 years ago. There was a guy working for the company that I work for, Abu Media, and he was starting a garden himself, and he just thought, you know, I'd love to have somebody tell me how to grow my own food without it being too complicated. So that's where the idea from the show came.
How far has the show travelled from season one to what is now on the verge of being season four? And I suppose in that, might I also ask, how has gardening changed in your opinion over those 4 years as well?
Well, I suppose it's a very personal journey. The show is a journey, and I've now done three series, and it started off with me as a presenter who knew nothing. And in fact, I came to the job totally by accident. I wasn't meant to be a presenter at all, and certainly not on a gardening show. But they knew I was interested, and that I'm interested in organic food and eating healthily. And the company asked me if I would, you know, have a go at it, and I did. And it's, I suppose, the beginning of it was literally me going out to meet people who already grow their own food, and they are the expert. So most programs have a presenter expert telling people how to do whatever it is that they do. In this instance, literally, I've gone all around the country, from Donegal down to Dingle and from Waterford to Dublin and up the East Coast, to meet people who grow their own food, to each of them to teach me something different, I suppose, about how they grow it or preferably how people grow organically.
I remember going out on my own 11 years ago in the landscaping business, Sheila, and I could not get any garden, not so much that you would try and sell that upon somebody, but I found it very difficult for people to want to have a grow your own patch, as I always did in my garden. May not have been raised beds as we know them today. Have you found that in the last 4 years maybe there's been a bit of an explosion into what is this grow your own pandemic, if it's fair to say?
It is. It's absolutely amazing. One of the things that's happened to me is that I now drive around looking left to right. My boss was driving in front of me one day. She said, "You drive like a farmer, always looking into the fields to see what's going on." Like, literally, because there are so many polytunnels and so many raised beds and so many people trying it out and seeing what they can grow and not feeling that it's a test. I think people used to see gardening as something that experts did, certainly growing food, that it was either you were either a farmer or a coachee or you were an expert. And now people aren't afraid to take the chance, and that's certainly a big difference I've noticed in the last couple of years.
Sheila Bryan here. Are people getting ready for Armageddon or just Eurozone meltdown?
I think people are certainly in the last few years feeling the pinch financially, and they're, you know, becoming aware that if they can grow a bit of their own food, that might help. A lot of children are coming home to their parents now saying, "Well, we've done this at school, and could we try it at home?" And I know some of the experts we've had on the show, Kay Sinnott, who goes to a lot of schools, said to me that parents now meet her in the supermarket and said, "We're growing our own food because of you," because the kids learn it and love it. I don't think people are getting ready for Armageddon, although that's something I'm aware of, I have to say, personally. I don't like how dependent we are on oil. I don't like buying food in the supermarket that comes from Chile and Bolivia and wherever else. Now, I do it from time to time, but I am far more satisfied with a meal where I know a lot of it has come from my own garden or the garden down the road or whatever it is. The idea of being local and looking after ourselves and being healthier and organic if we can, I think, is it's what's captured people's imagination.
Two things, Sheila. Number one is something I raised about 2 weeks ago, which was the cliche, which is grow your own and save yourself money. And I suppose conversation as versus argument that has come up locally where I live and also outside of that via, I mean, like you said, but, you know, even being part of the radio show here and being out and about, and people tend to say to me, "Hey, did you not hear?" I don't know, people tend to want to pass me snippets of news. And the one thing that came out quite recently was that you can buy vegetables so cheaply now versus, you know, a packet of seeds and the investment that must go into growing your own. Is that bit of a grow your own, save yourself money as versus, well, hold on a sec, I can buy it down the road for 49 cents. I mean, I saw in the newspaper today, I think they're doing heads of cauliflower and heads of cabbage for 49 pence, where a packet of seeds is €4. Is there a bit where you're noticing people are starting to get a bit smarter in what they grow and specialise a little bit, even though that's local? Or is it a case of that they're tending to do it more for the fun of it?
I think the two things are involved. My mother said to me last week, we were looking at seed catalogues and I was ordering my potatoes and seeds and onion sets, and she said, "I won't be growing onions this year. They take up too much room and I'm going to focus more on things that are more expensive." And that makes absolute sense. However, for me, there is a great thrill when you taste your own onion. Like, you might only grow 20 of them, but there is a great thrill to that. And the other side is, I stood in a supermarket before Christmas looking at the fruit and veg, and I was thinking of smoothies, and I try to make myself a green smoothie most days. And I was looking at melons and pineapples each of which were, I think it was 50 cent, maybe 60 cent. And I just had this moment where I was rooted to the ground because I really wanted to buy them. And I was also really aware that some farmer somewhere, probably in the third world, spent months of investment in terms of time and money and, you know, water, whatever else was needed, to grow those crops that were then bought and brought all the way to Ireland to be sold for 50 cents. And I'm wondering, standing there in the supermarket, how much was the farmer paid? And does that give him enough money to buy books for his kids for school or shoes or to put food on the table? So I think that's something that is coming up more and more for people. And again, for me on my journey, it's just really difficult to start making those choices, that it always has to be financial. I don't have money to spare at all. But I can say, well, no, I won't actually have pineapple. I'll have apples because, you know, they are grown here and, you know, they're closer to home or whatever it might be. I think people are making choices for different reasons, though.
There is a point in there where I also noticed recently there's a lot of talk about the demise and the fall in potato, homegrown potato purchases. Do you think a lot of that, of the uncalculated figures, is down to the Irish people are en masse starting to grow your own? And potatoes, as we know, quite, you know, from going back to pre-famine days, which I've always noticed, the only time it's ever gone wrong, really, when you've grown it in soil, and I mean pure back garden soil, you know, is it a case of that? Do you reckon that's part of it?
Or is it pizza and pasta?
I think that might be more to do with it, actually, yeah. Like, I grew potatoes myself for the first time last year, and I did it sort of as an experiment. I had just moved into my house, and I'm not a big potato eater, even though I love them. But I just thought, I'll try it, and I'll see what happens. Now, I have a terrible garden. The soil is really bad. It's going to be about a decade before it's, you know, before I'll be there going, oh, come and look at my lovely garden. But, I mean, I practically live in the bog, so it's just very peaty soil, and it's very shallow and whatever. But the potatoes grew. And there's something miraculous about that. So I grew a certain amount, and I'll do the same again this year. But generally, I eat more rice or quinoa or, you know, things like that that are a bit quicker than potatoes. And I think that that's something that's happened.
Peter, had you explain the title of the show? We must say to our listeners, it's on TG Cahir, formerly Teilifís na Gaeilge. And you go around the country and you speak to people who are growing. But you do it through the Irish language almost entirely?
That's right, yeah. Well, I mean, each programme, there are 13 episodes in the series, and it's been the same since it began, 13 episodes, and each programme deals with one specific person. So I go to visit them two or three times during the growing season, and they are normally Irish speakers, although there are some exceptions to that. And then in between those visits, I meet experts, generally, as it turns out, who aren't Irish speakers, people like Hans and Gabby Wieland or Kay Sinnott. All three of them are German. Klaus Leitenberger, who's also a German. Jörg Müller, who's a forager, and he's brought me foraging and got me to eat all kinds of things for the last 3 years, who's also German. The Germans have a lot to give to the programme, I have to say. So there's a lot of Gaeilge, but there's also quite a lot that isn't as Gaeilge.
And you've got Irish words for all the array of vegetables and things that are grown, and you just...
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I'm a Gaeilge. I was brought up in Spittle, and I suppose that's my background. There are, I mean, if you said to me, what's a pineapple in Irish or a melon when I'm standing in the supermarket, I might have to think about it because there are things that aren't part of the experience. But I suppose any veg that we had traditionally, yeah, there would, of course, be words for them.
Can you just explain again, Sheila? I know we have a lot of people listening outside of Ireland, but what is a Gaeilge, and can you describe, I suppose, in a couple of sentences, what Spittle is like? I mean, is it very bejesus begara kind of Irish-y? is that a fair?
It's not particularly like that, I suppose.
Sorry.
We have a couple of leprechauns maybe tucked away. No, it's not particularly like that. It's actually, you know, with the advent especially of television here, a lot of people work in media. There's a lot of media. There are several media businesses out here, and it's close enough, I suppose, to the city. But there is also, it is in the Gaeltacht, and what a Gaeltacht is, literally, is an Irish-speaking area where Irish is the first native language. And a Gaeilge is somebody whose first language is Irish.
Sheila, do you deal with any of the, I suppose, the gardener side of it, as versus the vegetable-growing gardener side of it? Do you deal with any of that kind of an old side of it? Is that a fair question?
The landscapers.
Landscaping. No, we haven't so far, because the programme very much was set up to be about growing your own food. Now, there was one couple this year that whom we went to see, and we talked to them a little bit about roses. And that was the first time, I suppose, that we went down that road. It's a very interesting question, Peter, because I've been doing this show for 3 years now, and it is, somehow, it's about my experience of gardening. Mm. And now that I've been learned to grow my own vegetables, and I can do it, and I'm doing it at home myself, the question is, what's the next step? Because each series has 78 segments. That's an enormous amount of different things to learn each year in a TV series, 78 segments. Mm. And finding 78 new ones every year, because that's what we have to do, is a challenge as well. So you never know, we might go down that route.
Yeah, no, it's a funny thing from talking with some of the horticultural societies and associations quite recently, and it seems to be that the numbers on one hand are dwindling from the old horticultural societies, but yet they're so rocketing literally on the grow-it-yourself side. And I don't think there's any major reason I don't want to be condescending in any way to anybody or any group and say one is better than the other. But at the same token, it seems to be just that there is just this mass popularity in the grow-it-yourself thing. And it was commented to me quite recently by some of the elder statesmen of the gardening fraternity, and they said, you know, it's a bit like the old crafts, that the pruning of roses and this thing where you I think, as one gentleman said to me, he said, I find that the bees that come into my garden might get a bit bored with just the apple trees. He said, I like to give them a few roses, because although he doesn't get anything back off the rose per se as, you know, a lump of fruit, he said, I think it's only fair, he said, I balance the pretty, which is what they prefer, to just the apples, which is, he said, he described it as feeling it a bit selfish, I suppose, is one way of pruning, or right. I was going to say pruning it, of saying it.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, some of the gardens that we go to that have flowers in them, for instance, that where there are people who just love being in the garden and they make it beautiful for them, it's such a pleasure. It's just such a joy to go to walk into somewhere where somebody has made an effort in order to create a beautiful place. And there are hardcore grow-your-own-food people whom we've gone to who say, no time for flowers now. All I have time for is veg. And I say, but would you not throw some nasturtiums in, or throw something in, you know, marigolds that are actually going to be really useful for your vegetables and also even going to give you some colour? And they say, no, don't need flowers. And yeah, it's very sad, actually.
I know on the far side of the ditch where my house is in middle of nowhere, Ballybachalia, North County Dublin, that I planted daffodils below the grass on the ditch lines, and I put the old Roadrunner Mimi sign into the grass saying, free daffodils, please take some, because they were just a wash with that. But I don't know, that's maybe just a little bit me. Sheila, when does the programme go back on air? What times and what days?
It starts on the 13th of March, which is a Tuesday, and it goes out at 8 p.m. Now, it'll also be repeated, but I don't know yet what day of the week it'll be repeated. But yeah, TG Cahir from the 13th of March.
Okay, and I'll have all of those details up on blog.donaghanlandscaping.com on this week's Sideshow.
Sheila, just before we let you go, a question that we've been asking ourselves, or I've been asking the expert here on this show, that being Peter, about rhubarb and it needing frost in January to get good rhubarb. Is this something you've heard of?
You better pick the same answer that I did last week, Sheila.
I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to pick the same answer, because I'm no expert on rhubarb. Mine just rotted in the ground.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe that's because it needs some cold frost. I have to say, I overuse that phrase, but this year, with the lack of frost, has been really bad for the garden. I do know that.
Mm.
That half answers me. I think we're going in the right direction on this one.
Yeah, that's not far off the same. But then Sheila's soil is extremely different to mine. She would have a higher pH, Brian.
Indeed, pH. Explain. That's on the litmus sort of scale, isn't it?
Yeah, along those lines for you, Brian, along those lines for you. Sheila, I have to say, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Gurmila Mochad.
Mila Falsruth, and Gurmila Mahagi Shibert.
We'll talk to you soon. Slán, bye bye.
Take care, bye.
The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM. Ever since I started doing the show, I thought, you know, I could actually move towards doing more gardening and stuff. But long before that, I've always thought I should brush up on my Irish.
I have to say, there's something very old, romantic for me that I remember when I was about 16 years of age, and we used to sit in a bus, and myself and a mate of mine, Dunica, and we used to talk nothing but Irish to each other. It was the way, I suppose, in which, as Sheila kind of says, if you're talking an everyday language. But it's only since my daughter has come to the fore that I suppose I've developed a better appreciation for it. And we're now, the books that I'm buying her at 2 years, of, not even 2 years of age.
I said she was four.
Sorry, not even 4 years. Sorry, I'm getting confused.
You said to the four. I'm only pulling your leg.
Yes, okay. No, but like the books that we're starting to pick up for now are you know, they're pictures with, you know, Tá Teddy Ag Dousa, you know, the teddy is dancing, and it's gloss, and it's clan, and it's tree, and it's ool, and it's oolard, which is orchard, and all of that kind of stuff in it. So it's there is something absolutely brilliant about it. That I have to say, I have a sincere fondness for. The fact that there's a gardening program and going out through Irish is just brilliant. The fact that it's, I suppose, a little bit about the person as well, and the journey and the story, and even Sheila's own journey, as she kind of explained herself, is absolutely brilliant. But as far as I'm aware, Brian, and that I know, it is Ireland's only gardening television show at this moment in time.
Are we still Ireland's only garden radio show, or?
Well, that I'm aware on that one, there are segments within radio shows, but that I am told we are Ireland's only garden radio
show. Then sometimes
the
show is less about the garden and more about just getting outdoors. But if it's Irish or gardening, maybe it's not the whole package that you need to pursue if you're interested in it. Just get out and do a little bit of it and don't delay.
No, and I think there's something testament to the likes of Anne and you know, the Shlina Skiocha, and just getting outside. And I like that question that I was asked midweek, which is, does the Hedgerow Society go and just sit there and look at a hedge for about 16 hours? And I was kind of saying no, because in all honesty, it's more, as you can testify to it, it's more about the journey, the walk with the people. It's having conversation with somebody outside in the fresh air. It's passing a child up one side of a ditch and back out the other. And equally, it's the cup of
tea and biscuits back in Anne's at the end. Yes.
Yeah, and if you're outside, I suppose, if you're in Anne's garden, it's quite funny because she's a couple of old chickens out there just wandering around doing their thing. And it's, you know, it literally is countryside, middle of absolute nowhere. I mean, she dug a hole in her own back garden just for the sake of that. She thought she might like a lake and then never actually got around to lining it. So now it's just a pond of water, but nonetheless it's the person behind it that's hugely and makes a difference important.
They're playing our music again, Peter.
Yeah, folks, hey, what can I say? Fastest half hour of the week. If you want to find out more on the Sod Show, just hashtag Sod Show on Twitter. You will find us facebook.com/Donegan Landscaping, and you'll find the audio and everything else that goes with it up there on blog.donneganlandscaping.com, including details of Gardaí Glos and the gardening program that is head to back out to air this March. And a huge thanks to our guest, Sheila Mihonena. I hope I pronounced that one right. I was told it's not far off the mark the last time I pronounced it.
103.2 Dublin City FM. We'll catch you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.